نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد المعلم الجود جود الكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفضل. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحابه وبارك وسلم.
The biggest point is this, the biggest point of all is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the du'as that we requested in Rajab, Allah accepted them with His fadl, with His grace, and Allah has bestowed us, given us the month of Shaban. Allah, with regards to the barakat, we are hopeful of Allah's barakat. Just like through Rajab, the du'as we asked for, Allah gave to us what we asked for. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Shaban, please, Allah will also give to us Ramadan. Ramadan, brethren, it is a month, just a month. But the more the preparation that's being made for it, the amount that for Ramadan, the preparation, readiness that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated to us, that Allah knows what is in that month of Ramadan. And how many rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have kept in this month of Ramadan. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Ramadan, such blessings Allah has instilled, that on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew, it was revealed to him, and he was aware that from Rajab to his Ummah, he started to awaken his Ummah from Rajab. That wake up, be alert, be conscious, don't be negligent, don't be lazy, don't be ignorant. Rather pray that in these 2 months you don't pass and you arrive to Ramadan. So what will be in Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has kept in Ramadan? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam totally recited dua for this. In other words, his asking was meant to be a methodology for the ummah. Now in the dua, there is a message that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, the Prophet of Allah, to his ummah. That may not be that due to your ignorance and negligence and laziness, you waste the month. All months that come, if we look at them, there are good deeds you can perform during them. There are all good things present with them. But Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't just given a specific time. Every moment, every second, there are barakat. Without any comparison. Rather, it's stated that there's no comparison to this. No comparison to this. In no moment, no time of Ramadan, you cannot compare to that. Eating is ibadah, sleeping ibadah, sitting ibadah, walking is worship. In other words, everything is included in ibadah. Allah Ta'ala has given. Doesn't matter what you do, Allah is the owner, controller. Who can challenge Allah? So what is in there that Allah Ta'ala has kept in this month? That is why Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that beware, do not be negligent in this month. That month of Ramadan, Allah knows best. Has Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all of the months, from all the months, most of all the month that he preferred was Shaban. So in that, Rasulullah used to do a lot of worship and fasting. So the reason for this was what? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like Shaban? SubhanAllah, he said, I like Shaban because it is close to Ramadan this month. It's close to Ramadan. Just because it's near the neighbor, the Prophet ﷺ liked Shaban. And Shaban has so many barakat that Allah has put in, that in Shaban, the ibadat, they are different to normal months. The dhikr during today is very different to the month of beforehand. The rewards are extra in this month. In this month, the tahajjud, the ishraq, the ibadat, the worship. How stupid are those people, foolish, who waste this month, they're sitting down, talking, traveling, going here, going there, holidays. Allah, hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In other words, this is all about yaqeen. It's all about certainty. So Allah's Nabi has demonstrated to us that from 2 months in advance, he said, be ready. Be ready. And our hal is we don't care. We have no fikr. No concern. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that same way, Allah ta'ala gives to a person the amount of yaqeen he has on a point, the amount of faith and belief, the amount the individual believes in Allah and his Rasulullah's words. You can tell his yaqeen from his amal, his actions. If he leaves everything and goes to other things, then think about it yourself. So Allah's system that he's made is based on yaqeen, your certainty, your faith. Whatever action you do, whatever good deed you take, on its preparation for that good deed. For example, in the night of Jummah that we have now, the walis of Allah used to spend the night of Jummah in a unique way. I've spent time in a khanqah, so I know the same khanqah that one day before was different, the environment. Soon as the night of Jummah arrived, the whole environment would suddenly change. Hazrat Sahab's style and method would also suddenly change. From Dhuhr on Thursday, people would start to arrive. You know, the summer time, it takes a long time, it's hot. And there was a nice environment and happiness and rejoicing and a unique emotion. And after Maghrib is dhikr, but well in advance, the preparations would begin. Even today, it's not the case that this is not happening. Even today, alhamdulillah, there are people present that such things, they value them. They are, it's the dhikr of the night of Jummah, prepare, put your work here, there, leave it behind, stop. And they reschedule the activities. Many women folk, sisters are such, when they know that this is the dhikr of the night of Jummah, they change the mamla, they cook earlier, they quickly clean up, they change their schedule. Why? Because dhikr is starting this time, and let's get ready for dhikr, say the women folk, the sisters. How can anyone compare with that? When Allah sees that preparation, Allah's karam, his blessings that come due to that preparation. There was a sister who phoned from Pakistan. And there's a difference in it, 5-6 hours. It's 8:30 there. I think it probably is 1:30 a.m. there at the moment, isn't it? In the night. One sister, she wrote that, tell me, am I doing the right thing or not? Is there something lacking in what I'm doing? Look at her preparation. She said, there cannot be that it's Thursday night, I leave the dhikr. I don't listen to your bayan. So I've made this method, she said, that I, on that day, quickly I go to sleep, early. And then I set the alarm for 1:30 a.m. SubhanAllah. MashaAllah, she's mad with the love. It's not fard, is it? She said, I set the alarm. And the how much, just a few hours she slept, she's tired to get up. All day she was busy, then she sleeps and gets up. Just so that she wants to get the dhikr of Allah during the night of Jummah. And then there are those people who don't care. In other words, how can you compare when on Qiyamah people will be stood up and will be hisab accounting? These things will be counted. The how much a person had faith and conviction and belief in these things, certainty. awareness. From the morning, the person starts thinking in their mind, oh, it's Thursday night tonight, dhikr. What is it that's pulling that person? Subhanallah, think for yourself. Is it that the person changes their style on that day, their method, their schedule, their agenda? And others don't even care. Oh, khair, oh, when it comes, we'll go. What difference does it make? It's only dhikr, innit? It's alright. Oh, we'll listen online whilst we're moving along. We'll sit over there and listen. So any person who's got consciousness has yaqeen, and you can't think about that person, anything that forces you some compulsory reason that he can leave the majlis, otherwise that journey of his is a waste. What is that journey where he misses? There are necessities in life. That person has to fulfill them, he has to do the work. Despite the fact that there's no sharia hadood, it's not fard, it's not sharia hadood boundary, but the love and the passion and his preparation increases due to the love of Allah, that he doesn't care about these things, side matters. It's not that that individual doesn't know what he has to do in life, etc. Yes, he thinks that, how can I miss this in the morning? How can I leave the company of the sheikh? Just for these minor matters of the dunya, these minor issues. And look at those darajat of those people, how high grade they are in the akhirah. I'm not saying this, it's written in the Quran and the hadith about such people. Let's do dua. Allah Ta'ala also gives us this level of love. So it's not unlimited, these things, you know, forever they're going to carry on. These are limited. They will just be counted, these majlis. When we go, they'll say, this just many majalis I gave to you of dhikr. Yes? It's not that we got so many do when they come. No, they are just limited in our life. This written, this many will come in your life. This many majalis. This many you wasted. Why? Why did you waste them? Allah will say that I'm not worried why you wasted them. But it's sad to say, it's sad to say that you didn't value and appreciate these gatherings. In your heart there was no value. You didn't have yaqeen on these points. You didn't have yaqeen. Why? Because Allah knows that the dunya, how many things of the world we believe in, we run after, and we take big steps for the yaqeen of the dunya. And wherever we see benefit in the world, after this I'll get this, after I do this effort I'll get this. Big, big steps we take, plans, agendas to attain the dunya, material things, because we believe in that. We have yaqeen in that. So Allah Ta'ala says that everything in my system is based on yaqeen, and your yaqeen, to make it weak, shaitan, when he attacks, what does he do? It's called waswasa of shaitan. This is the name of his attack. That he demotes and degrades the yaqeen in Allah's dhikr. And wasawis make that person weak and belittles yaqeen. So you should, for example, have no doubt. Don't let shaitan attack you on the yaqeen from the majalis. Here the walis of Allah stay, the pious predecessors, subhanAllah, that the answer to this is whether you feel like it or not, whether you half feel like it or not. Whether you have wudu, you don't have wudu. Whether you're weak, doesn't matter how weak you are. Whatever situation you're in, but don't leave dhikr of Allah. This unique style, Hazrat used to say this statement that I'm presenting to you. In other words, in all emotions, conditions accepted, not that time, that for example, if today you fall to defeat on that waswasa, the whisper, that Wali Allah is saying that such a day will come, that you will consume and feel the taste of that dhikr. Allah's exam, the challenges come, someone's got more challenges, someone's got less challenges. You're not constantly in one emotion from the beginning. Sometimes Allah makes it easy for someone, Allah makes it harder for somebody. Someone has more waswasa, more attack of shaitan. For somebody it's more smooth. We don't care about that. Allah Ta'ala's, this work, this task, we shouldn't enter with this. Why is it easy for him? Why is it hard for me? It's so easy for him. It's difficult for me. Why am I in a challenge, an exam and a test, and he's doing it easier? No. For example, looking for a sheikh, somebody gets a sheikh 500 miles away, 100 miles away, or 3,000 miles away. On the doorstep someone gets. So from here, I had to travel 3,000 miles to my sheikh. And would I argue, Allah, why did you give me a sheikh so far away? I should have had a sheikh in this country. Why didn't I get a sheikh like this close to me and make complaints? Others, they see it for them. Why do they go? So we want to follow the deen according to our desires and whims. How will you progress? In the work of Allah, don't interfere in Allah's decisions. There's only one cure for this waswasa. Amana wa sadaqana. Allah is there, we accept. That's it. No challenge. You've given this to me, I accept. That's it. End of story. I don't need to look left and right. Allah, you know best. You have given me this in my life. And even if I'm very sick, even Allah says you give me sickness and distress and difficulties, and even then you make me do the work of the deen. Allah says it's my choice. Conditions I give to you, situations I give to you, it's my choice. To some prophets that I called up to the heavens and somebody was given difficulty, somebody was swallowed by a whale, someone was put into this difficulty. My beloved Habib, 3 years Allah said that they were surrounded in the wadi. Yes, that the leaves they finished whilst they were eating, the leaves were consumed. No companion said, oh, why is this happening to us? Complaining in the valley with difficulty. Was that yaqeen? That whatever Allah, our Rabb, is doing, He is doing according to His hikmah, wisdom. Follow the wisdom path. Yes? No one said, oh, and complained. The leaves finished. There was no water to drink. The dates had finished. There was nothing left. Even the leaves had gone. No one said, Ya Rasulullah, what's going on here? Why you made us stuck and we're destroyed now? Look, these people who don't have faith, they're enjoying their sunnah. 1, 2, 3 years. Not a minor thing, my friends. The severity. And there, they were in prison, and there was no food, no water. There were sanctions from the opposite side, and the Holy Prophet didn't complain. Allah, what's happening? Oh, my companions will run off. What shall I do? How shall I control them? No, big examination and a big teaching, education for us. That in the dunya, that severe conditions will come. Severe examinations will come. And such a place though you will come back to that you cannot even imagine in your brains what that place will be after you return there, after you pass away. And there you will live forever. Subhanallah. The hoors, you will have heard their names, but you cannot understand what the hoor is physically in reality. Those palaces, you've heard the names of the mansions, but you cannot understand the description that what I've kept aside for you. Because your sacrifice, Allah says, I really do like it. Your distress, your worries, your problems, that everything that you have gone through, reason, because this name I'm giving to you, that you had belief in my words, and you didn't see me. Allah says, Alimul Ghaib, everything of mine was hidden. You had so much belief that Allah is there, Jannah is there, the Hurs are there. And for that you were working so hard regularly. Say Subhanallah. So brothers, this is the game. This is the game of yaqeen, my friends. Game of alif, la, mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. That's it. Allah says, I give you kitab. Benefit will come at that time when you have yaqeen in the kitab. Yaqeen is otherwise no benefit. No benefit. So now we see how much yaqeen do we have in this. Yes, we're just empty boxes. So yaqeen is the biggest thing for a human being. On yaqeen, certainty, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that you don't know that what is Ramadan. Just believe in what I'm saying. Believe in what I'm saying. Belief. Yaqeen. And it's announced, my friends. Why? For this reason, that this month is about to come. Those who believe in this, that month, they will try and struggle to attain what's in that month. They will prepare themselves for that month. The 2 months in advance, they will put their other agenda items aside. They won't travel, they won't go here, they won't go there. One place, they will look, focus their eyesight. How do I prepare myself for this month? Are there people like this? Yes, there are people like this. In Rajab, they change themselves. All things, they come under control. And they minimize. These are the signs of the people of Allah. This is what we call Wali Allah. So this emotion condition, to bring it within you, to develop this condition within you, we go to the walis of Allah, we go into the khankas, we go to that environment. What else do we go there to attain? What extra thing is there to get? What else is there? This emotion, that this is what we want. These emotions and conditions we give up in the dunya for money, material things, the hubu dunya, they contaminate these good emotions. And they finish off these good emotions of ours. And it makes a person feel that, oh, life is just, you know, go here, do here, pray here, go there, do this and that. It becomes like a robot, like a machine. He can't enjoy the deen, say Subhanallah. He doesn't take any enjoyment from the deen. He can't taste the deen. It's never come to that person. In the love of the dunya, he is running around in temporary things, material things, worldly things. Otherwise, the taste of the deen is such a thing. The taste of Allah's deen is such a thing that even if, for example, there is hot sand, fire is burning, and it's desert environment, and they're chained in the chains, and they're laying down on the fire, the ashes, and the body's melting. What's coming from the mouth? Ahad, ahad, ahad. Tell me. So he was asked, what does this mean? Even now, ahad, you're saying? He said, yes, I don't know this. You don't know the taste. When I say ahad, then it's not the fire, rather the coolness of the fire I'm experiencing. Because one thing overwhelms the other. And that taste is so much of the deen that the taste overwhelms the pain. You understand my point? Do you understand? Anywhere to suppress the pain, you need something greater. So the taste of the deen is so great, you don't feel the pain. SubhanAllah. Why did I give the example to the children? Because if you put injection into a child, what do you do before giving an injection? You give a sweet to the child, like the doctor, he's sucking the sweet. Give a chocolate to the child so he's distracted. Because the child enjoys that sweet or the chocolate, the sweetness, and then it makes him forget the pain. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So much enjoyment in the deen that Allah says, say my name, recite my name, take my name. Yes, it was a darvish sitting in Makkah, and everyone was present. It was extreme cold. People had blankets wrapped around in the cold in the winter. There was a darvish sat there, Wali Allah. And he had a thin kurta, kameez on, sat there. Someone asked him, that, Baba, do you not feel cold? Oh, everyone's extreme cold. They're shaking. There were blankets. You just sat with the kurta. And he gave a beautiful answer. He said, say Allah's name once, then you'll see the effect. Just say Allah's name once. He said, Allah, from top to bottom, he was sweating, his body, sweating. He said, how will I get cold if I'm like this? SubhanAllah. In other words, if we see, because the enjoyment, the taste in ibadat and worship, we don't even know the taste, the enjoyment of ibadat, the feeling. More than that was when dunya, the love of dunya has increased and is suppressed and buried the taste of the deen. So in the khankas, in the company of the walis, Allah, you go there because they already have gone through those stages and levels and that journey. So they create a change, they reform the human beings. So the person who goes with the desire, the student who wants to develop that taste of the deen, then they run towards Salah. When the taste develops of the Quran, recitation, SubhanAllah. When the taste develops, then tahajjudi comes out, the Quran. Why? Look at what is the time the Quran Allah Ta'ala has allotted. It's the tahajjud time. That time Allah says, read Quran. You read, I want to listen to you, Quran Allah says. SubhanAllah. Your Quran sealed in your chest. You know, not the box. Nobody has the tawfiq at that time to wake up and to recite the Quran to Allah. And tarawees, just we'll recite in tarawees, that's it. Yeah? Yeah, more than that, I have no need for my hifz, the person says. Apart from tarawees. If you are hafiz, make your children hafiz, make them in that way, instill in them the love from the beginning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, and when you in front of the child and read salah in the night, at that time, which is when you develop the child to become a hafiz, then he'll understand the child hafiz, that my father, my parents made me hafiz, so in the night I will read salah in the same way as my parents. SubhanAllah. No, we've gone down, everything's down for us. You know, it's just like a tradition for us now, isn't it? Everything, just a tradition, cultural, you know, tradition of the dunya that we just rotating, do this, do that, this has happened, that's happened. Just temporary, limited actions, this has become our deen. Limited it, and we're forgiven. Deen's enjoyment, we haven't even tasted yet. The enjoyment of the deen. What is the enjoyment of the deen? Ask a person who wakes up tahajjud time, SubhanAllah, gets up in the night, then at tahajjud time, he recites Quran, tilawat, during tahajjud salah. Allah likes that. What do? That when Allah says it's time for dhikr, we open the Quran and start reading at that time, and read tafsir. In other words, we are following the deen on our own opinions. Allah Ta'ala has destined a time for dhikr. He prefers it. We start doing other actions and worship actions. Is this happening or not? Tell me. Yes. The time Allah has allotted, the schedule Allah has given, we have changed that schedule to our desires. Why? Because At that time we say, oh, it's easy now to read Quran. It's easy now. Open the Quran now. What's the point of doing that? Quran recite tahajjud time, the tears come out of the eyes at that time. Is there any other great effect than that? That the meaning of the Quran you'll start to understand at that time. Why? Because what's that? He says that the tafsir, I haven't even recited. Why are the tears coming out? The tears are coming, and not that time due to tafsir. At that time, it's the enjoyment, the taste of the Quran that gives that effect. That beautiful thing, when you eat it and you enjoy it, then the tears come out of the eyes. When you eat biryani with the mircha, the spices, biryani, nice biryani, what do they call it? For very nice, or you put some spices into the curry, you'll enjoy so much that the tears come from the eyes due to the taste. Same way, the Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran, when they recite the Quran, in a beautiful way, this surah, this chapter, that surah, then the tears flow from their eyes. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Who is this people? Who are the people who have these examples? Those people in whose hearts they have faith and belief in Allah. And how do you develop the faith? You have to make effort. Till you don't have the belief and the conviction, you don't get the taste of deen. You won't have the enjoyment. You just sat there. I didn't realize some people are hungry. And they're eating. I don't have the hungry. Oh, everyone else is eating. I'm just eating. Many people like that. Just to fill the stomach, they sat there, other people eating there. But the person who's enjoying the meal, subhanallah, is eating whilst enjoying the taste. That's different. So Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this He made us alert for which reason, purpose, so that we can attain Ramadan. Oh yes, I'm preparing for Ramadan. How? We do prepare. We prepare a lot. The fridges are filled. Beautiful delicacies and samosas are prepared in advance. Yes, I'm not saying don't make them. Make them, make them. Roll, samosas, chicken. This is a philosophy that, so what will happen is if we prepare the meals, then we won't have to cook during Ramadan. And then in Ramadan, so we got every prepared, take it out of the fridge and we'll eat it. So time is shortened. Even then we're worried about the stomach. Say subhanallah. Even there we worry about the stomach in advance. And such things will come. This paranta, lichidar paranta, put it with this sauce and this evening and we'll cook this and make this new dish. Allah Ta'ala has stopped us from eating. Allah says that if you don't eat in the morning, then there's thawab for that, obviously. There's thawab for that. Yes, Allah Ta'ala tells us, get up in the morning. And by force, Allah says, get up and eat. And Allah says that, suhoor time, eat good things, no problem. Eat in advance. But the real preparation to attain Ramadan, that, for that, Allah's Nabi Sallam told us to start from Rajab time. So should we do this or not, my friends, preparation? Shouldn't we? Yes, we should. Otherwise, Ramadan will go. It will just go like that. Just like Rajab went so quick. So the month of preparation, we should have prepared. Here, we just spent here, then everywhere. Running around. Then we've got now, but the days of preparation, if they've gone, then what will we do? Yes, the days have passed. 1 month's gone already. Someone's passed it here, passed it there. Nonsense activities. Allah's kitab is written. That person is non-serious. He just bopping around, wasting time, sitting around. Laylatul Qadr is waiting for Laylatul Qadr. Let's see what Laylatul Qadr that person will get. You don't get it like this. These old games. Oh, the lights are dimmed. And oh, put the lights off. What will happen then? The Rajab. You put the lights off in Rajab. That's when you should say subhanallah. Yes, this is the drama, the people. There's big, big dramas nowadays. Big, big dramas. So, okay, Rajab's gone, but Shaban is still here, isn't it? Shaban. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to discuss in Shaban. Is it 5th, I think, of Shaban? Or is it 4th of Shaban? So remember this point, that such adabs come, that today the adab on the ummah that we see, Allah Ta'ala said, will He give adab to Muslims? And will Allah bring severe conditions on believers? Our conditions are such, if a difficulty comes, oh, so much dhulam is happening to us, they're enjoying, and look how much dhulam is happening to us. Were we the only ones left with dhulam and oppression? Thousands of nonsense statements people start speaking, and this is our hal of our deen today, our condition. This is our situation. That we don't even know the enjoyment of saying subhanallah on its own. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thawab that he's written for subhanallah, on its own, then between the heavens and the earth, the space is filled, and the Jannah tree is grown for you. The 100 years you travel under its shade, you will not get out of that shade. Tell me the thawab for this. If I start talking about the thawab for just one subhanallah, you'll be shocked just for saying subhanallah once. But ask that person who knows about this. Yes, ask that person that what is behind the enjoyment of saying subhanallah. Why don't we have the enjoyment? So what's the difference between us and those people? Who are the others who don't believe? Yes, and then why are we complaining? Why are we complaining that we don't have yaqeen in these small points? You understand what I'm saying or not? You don't understand? Who are you complaining to? Who are we complaining to? Allah says it's you. Allah says you're the ungrateful people. Yourself, ask yourselves. How can you deceive Allah? How can you deceive anyone else? You're the biggest fraudster yourself, Allah says. You're the biggest fraudster yourself. Allah says that you are the people. You don't know yourself. You just know how to count notes, make wealth and run businesses, count money. Few days I've given you items in the world, you're lost in that. And that you've made this your this is mine, this is yours, and this is yours, and that's it. This will happen, it will come to you, what's going to come to you. Allah says, you've given up everything for this. So these months are passing, a very important month, extremely important days and nights that are passing right now. Very much so. And in these nights, there are big attacks of shaitan. To take you out of iman, take you out of the deen, to talk silly things, to do immodest actions. Imagine. How things people do during Rajab and Shaban, we will have done. How much time we will have wasted and how we have wasted our time. To waste that time, so much money we spent to waste the time. Allahu Akbar. What hisab will get Allah? Allah said, did I give you money for this? Such muqaddas, sacred month, and you go and spend your money like this. And on Islamic words and actions you spend your money on to enjoy yourself. If you had belief and faith, Ramadan is a great thing, and Rajab, Allah said, prepare, then can anyone move? Can he move? Question doesn't arise. So my brothers, we are using the days incorrectly. Very wrong deen has come to us. Incorrect deen. Extremely incorrect form of deen has been presented. Oh, you're forgiven. It's fine. It's okay, do what you want. No problem. Leave this. Every Ramadan, it's okay, you'll be forgiven. If you haven't prepared for Ramadan, then how will you attain Ramadan? What will you request for if you haven't prepared? If you haven't prepared, if you haven't got ready, then how will you pass the exams? 2 months, if you have not prepared and revised, then you'd know what is Ramadan, my brothers. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he announced so loudly. Why? Why did he announce so loudly? Prepare. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? This is an important point. So what is the preparation then? What's the preparation we should make to get ready for Ramadan so that we can attain Ramadan? So that Ramadan doesn't go to waste. What is the preparation? So we should ask, we should know in it that if you're getting ready, if you're revising, if you're preparing, how should you prepare? What's the method? Look. For every worship, Allah has given a preparation, readiness. To come to pray salah, do you make preparation or not? You do? What do? To prepare for salah. You wear good clothes, apply the fragrance, very good fragrance clothes, and do an excellent wudu. And you do hilal, and clean your hands like this, your feet like this, and you clean your ears like this, do masa on your neck. Is this the case or not? Excellent form of wudu. What is this you're doing? It's not namaz, is it? What are you doing? You are preparing for salah at that time. Whilst you're doing wudu, say subhanallah. Yes, because it's a great thing that you're about to go to that you're not aware of. We don't know what is salah in reality. We don't know. We don't even know what's the preparation for salah in reality. Just in wudu, the enjoyment Allah Ta'ala has instilled, ask somebody who really knows who's doing wudu correctly. 15 minutes they take to do wudu. 15 minutes. The du'as to be recited, say subhanallah. It's not the case that just pray salah, do wudu, after that look towards the heavens and recite this du'a. 8 doors of heavens will be open for you. What have you done to make them open? Salah. What have you done? The 8 doors of Jannah has opened up. Is this not hadith, tell me? What action did you do to make those doors open? What a great action did you do? Why? Because just the wudu you performed, the taste of wudu anew, this is the preparation for the salah. Shall I tell you? Every ibadah Allah has given a preparation. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Then. Because the salah to come, Allah says, you don't know the taste, the enjoyment, its level, its achievement. When you come and stand and say, Allahu Akbar, then Allah says, I'll make the dunya disappear from in front of you. You won't be still in the dunya anymore when you're praying salah. And this is what happens. Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, why they say, if you want to cut my leg at that time or do something, then they said, should we make you unconscious? What did they say? When to disturb them? When did they say to be disturbed? They said, cut my leg, or if you want to do an operation during salah, do it so I don't realize. If you want to take the arrow out, then take it out during salah. Whatever you want to do, do it at that time of salah, whilst I'm praying namaz. Why? Because the enjoyment of salah, the tranquility, concentration was so great that all the enjoyment of the dunya evaporated and they were immersed. The person was like numb during that time. Oh, what great people they were, the sahaba. And even there, now there are people like that. Yes, if the one person who said that I stay up all night long, but I cannot leave the dhikr majlis, she said, the sister. So she must know the taste for that majlis. Tell me. And she listens the same, and you also hear the same that she's listening. But she's thousands of miles away, she's preparing. And we are just 10 feet away, we're not even focusing on what's being said, what's happening, what should we do, what should we not do for the majlis. Then death is going to come in it. In this hal, death comes, even the dogs and the cats like that, a person dies. Yes, the form changes, the face changes, someone dying like a khanzir, like a dog, like a cat. In the grave, they're lowered like an animal. This hadith. Allah Ta'ala says that you with your own hands, what you earned, I will give to you. I will give you the result, whatever you did, I won't leave one thing totally like that, I'll give to you. The result. Totally, I'll give to you what you brought back. I won't increase it, decrease it. This is what you came back like a monkey, like a dog. This is what I'll make you, Allah says. The person doesn't know that he remains like that. But you didn't try. You didn't have no effort, nor did you think. Why? If you knew, then why would you run away from these sacred months? How would you leave these actions? The Ramadan's preparation I give you in this month, Allah says. Preparation. Say subhanallah. Do you like what I'm saying? Do you like what I'm saying? Or are you upset with what I'm saying? Or are you upset with what I'm saying? No, no, please don't get upset. Please, then our friendship will not remain the same. What's the point? Don't leave with anger. Just have love, inshallah. One salah, after doing wudu, Allah says, look up to the heavens with your sight. So why do we lift our faces then? That's a question here, isn't it? Yeah. Why do we lift our faces to the heavens? Well, a person who does wudu, Allah says, with that faith you did wudu, that belief, then just look up slightly, lift your neck up. Allah says, here are the 8 doors, look with your own eyes, look at the doors. Subhanallah. He's looking then at the doors in heaven. So when Allah Ta'ala shows to the eyes, the person observes. Allah says, you've got yaqeen. So by you seeing, there's no difference. Because you've got yaqeen already, Allah says, you've arrived to that maqam, that I'll show you now. Look, Allah says, lift your head and do this dua and you'll see that it does. So he doesn't see any difference in seeing, because the yaqeen he had in advance anyway. Okay, so when we listen to something like this, what do we say? Oh, look at him, what he's saying. He's showing, Allah showing to him and not to us. We also pray salah. I did wudu as well. This is not justice. Allah showing to him, he's not showing to me. Subhanallah, we complain. Ask that person. Slightly, that, for example, you have a defect in your sight. that what have you done to attain that rank, that status? It's not that he fought with someone, etc. No, he immersed himself and he crushed his desires within to elevate his yaqeen. Within himself, he crushed his desires. Desires came, buried them. Desires came, no, I'll do this. I don't want to waste my time here. I need Allah at this time. Then desires came, then he buried them again. And he crushed his desires, buried his desires. This is the game of life, nothing else. Our one desire is so big, we run three steps, oh, book this, oh, go over there, let's go over there now. Just based on the desires. Three steps we run on one desire. Muslims make a calendar, schedule, Islamic calendar. What's the meaning of Islamic calendar? According to the calendar, live your life. What month should you do this? On this day, what should you do? What should be your schedule, your timetable? What days come now? What weeks come now? This is the program of life. Allah Ta'ala says, look here, moon and sun, I've given you signs for your schedule. Make a plan. What's the message you're getting? What day, what should you do? Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard. Allah says the ikhtilaf, I've made the system, the cycles in the dunya, ulil albab, for the people of wisdom. There are big signs in what's going on around you, the cycles. The night's about to come, I'm going to do this action, morning's going to come, and the afternoon, tahajjud's coming, I've got to do this action now. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wa an-nahari la ayati li ulil albab. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman. Allah says these signs around you creates awareness, consciousness, what's happening around me within the human being. Then he gets strength. Ulil albabi becomes aware through what? Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman. When he starts doing dhikr of Allah in such a way that he's not worried about anything else apart from dhikr, then he gets this maqam. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So, have only one concern, Allah's remembrance, nothing else should come into you, then Allah says, bring you to that maqam, I'll make you al-ulul albab, the person of aqal, wisdom, understanding. What does that person become? A brainy person? The people are looking at him, he's not worried about the people around him. He's looking at the reality of the signs around him. What's the sun doing? What's the moon doing? Why? Look. The moon and the sun, these are all parts of the universe. They are in the control of who? The person who has iman, faith. They follow his ushering and his directive. Allah's Nabi Sallam, how did he make the moon split or move? They said, oh, my salah is delaying. He said, praise Allah again, and he moved it. Made the time come back earlier. So, yes. The sun came here. Okay, now we got more time. Extension. Praise Allah. So these are the people of Iman. It's due to their what they want that Allah Ta'ala makes the cycle around them. Whenever Allah wants, he stops. Whenever he wants, he makes it continue. Say Subhanallah. So my brothers, the message is that prepare. So what preparation shall we make now? That just like you prepared for Salah, the Tilawat of Quran, Allah says that beware, don't touch this Quran with the dirty hands. First purify yourself before you touch the Quran. So you purify yourself, you do wudu. Allah says now you're pure physically. You're physically pure now, recite. But when you're pure physically, then you'll understand. The more you are pure, if you're pure within, internally, more spiritually, then you'll understand the reality of the Quran. There are two types of understanding of Quran. There are two types of purification. One is physical purification, wudu, for which 8 doors of Jannah is that that person was doing purification within. He was reciting those kalamat, du'as that Rasulullah used to do during wudu. The emotions came into him. Subhanallah. You know, like person when he recites the Quran, that subhanallah, the more he's pure, he'll understand. If he had purified himself spiritually within, the more he was pure and he holds the Quran, the more he'll understand the reality of the Quran, the essence of the Quran. This is based on our own efforts. It's up to us. If you want the hikmahs of the Quran, the wisdom of the Quran, the reality of the Quran, if you want to drown in the Quran, immerse yourself in the Quran, the more you purify yourself and stand in front of the Quran, sit in front of the Quran, the more the Quran will affect you. Otherwise, the more you are impure, the Quran says, I send a curse on you, you're reciting and I'm cursing you. Is this not the case? That the person reciting thinks he's earning thawab, wood, and the Quran says, I'm cursing you at that time, lanat. What are you reading? What is Hafiz? What surah Hafiz is? What Qari is this in front of me? He's cursing. The Quran's cursing that person. So preparation. So what is the preparation for this? Such a great month. So the preparation for Ramadan should be so great or not, shouldn't it? Tell me, or not? Shouldn't the preparation also be great? The preparation for this is this, that the preparation for the ibadat. The preparation for ibadat we've discussed, for example. So Allah says, you're about to enter into a great month. And such a great month. The soon as the month comes and the moon is born, the ibadat will start. And that month will start. So in that style, due to this, due to these points that we've discussed, such a great ibadah that's been given to us, such a great month that's coming, Ramadan, in that same way the individual needs to be pure, subhanAllah. The more for that. Just as great the month is coming, the heightened month that's coming, the more you are pure, the same way then, the more Ramadan will deliver to you and give to you, subhanAllah. Just like I explained to you about Quran, about Salah, preparing for these actions, for these deeds. So the more the human being purifies himself, and purification in such a way that we should have started that purification from Rajab, subhanAllah, 2 months in advance. 8 weeks Allah gave us to purify ourselves before Ramadan. The Jummah, Allah said, for example, you have a shower bath, you get pure. So for Ramadan, from Rajab, Allah said, purify yourself, clean yourself, prepare yourself. From Rajab, 8 weeks prior. That's how desperately we need to prepare for this month. So what purification do we need for this? What shower do we need? What bath do we need to take for Ramadan? The people, what is it that has destroyed us? The impurity. My brothers, may Allah forgive us. That due to the sins a person gets lost. One minor so-called sin instills a darkness, blackness into a person. Blackness. Destruction. Why? Because the sin that we have done within directly connects us to what? To Jahannam, to hell. That you've now got the connection with hell. As soon as a person commits a sin, he's connected to what? To Jahannam, to hell. He makes a connection. And he commits a sin, and his connection solidifies with Jahannam. And then when his connection and relationship with Jahannam is made strong, then all of the winds from within him, the direction takes him towards Jahannam, the kharafat, the evil. So these are the connections Allah has made, the dots. So when a person does good deeds, pious deeds, what connection does he make? With Jannah, with paradise, when he does good things. So when he's got connection, relationship, the more he does goodness and piety, actions, good actions, righteous actions, his connection, relationship with Ramadan strengthens. And within him he has that coolness of Jannah and of paradise. So unfortunately, or fortunately we could say, what is our thing? What's our situation in the dunya? 7, 8, 9 months, the whole year we are in destruction of lying, fraud, this, that, ibadat finished and being weak. There's no sin around us that has not embedded itself inside us. That has not embedded itself inside us, come inside us. So tell me now, this impurity, with this impurity, how can an individual enter into Ramadan? All year long, the impurities embedded. So if you don't do wudu, you can't pray salah. So such a great month, Ramadan, that is coming. Such a great month, Ramadan, Allah is giving, that Allah has explained, that nobody can explain the greatness of this month. Tell me that how much purity do we need to enter into that month? And shaitan, that he destroys, makes us sin, and then he destroys our Ramadan. And prior to Ramadan, he tries his best to make you do wasteful talk, to make you go towards sins, and he makes you do futile talk. Futile talk. Why? And he makes that person, he deviates that person, takes him off track. They'll go, oh, you're not going to get Ramadan, oh, just pray Taraweeh now, you've just got sins inside you. Read Quran as much as you want, you've got sins inside you. That's his direction. So the preparation for this for the human being is that the human being needs to do ghusl of his bath in subhanAllah. What does he need? He needs to take a bath spiritually within, internally, washing. Ghusl of the batin. To attain Ramadan, you need to do ghusl-e-batin so that inside us the wretchedness, all the darkness, the blackness, the rotten state within us in the darkness of the sins, they're all eliminated. And that's the awareness that we require. That's the wash that we need to take. We need a soap, detergent for that. And Allah's Nabi Sallam is telling us that start from Rajab this action. From Rajab. Start from 2 months in advance. Rajab has gone, disappeared. Okay, alhamdulillah, we still got Shaban, haven't we? So let's start now this action, so we can prepare. So whoever has taken a shower and given ghusl to his batin in a state, alhamdulillah, then Ramadan salutes him from the first night, he'll enjoy Ramadan. Yes, then he doesn't get no bad effects in Ramadan, that individual, if he's prepared, ready. So we need this preparation. What is that? That do the ghusl of the batin. Take a bath of the inner state to prepare ourselves for Ramadan, just like Rasulullah announced and told us to. So now, what is ghusl-e-batin, my friends? What is the bath of our internal self? What is the bath, the shower that we can take so we can remove the darkness from within us? Alhamdulillah. And so we can become capable of Ramadan, so we don't waste Ramadan. Sin is such a strong thing that the effect of sin is so strong that the effect of the sins is recorded by the angels. Allah Ta'ala has selected the angels to record the sins. Despite this, and away from this, Allah Ta'ala has also prepared, apart from the recording of the sins, that sin, you cannot be saved from the effect of that sin either. That's another thing in addition that Allah Ta'ala has prepared. That the organs that we use, our eyes, mouth, hands, these themselves will witness in the hereafter that he committed the sin. Allah has put in them the energy. They're not ours. When we sin, then our organs, they are cursing us. The parts of our body are cursing us at that time. You know, our body, our fingers, our eyes, for whom our mouth, for our stomach, we consume haram, and we use our hands to do all of this. All of these things are not ours. The limbs, they are writing, they are recording, it's being computerized, like digitally, you could say. Just Allah Ta'ala will give them a tongue to speak, and they will say, put the file here, Allah will say to the angels, where's this person's file? The file will come after, Allah will say, fine, first parts of the body, then the limbs, the hands, the feet, the mouth. I will say, what's going on here? Didn't you do these actions? They will say, your parts of the body, did you not do this? Will we then reject? Can you reject the parts of your body when they speak at that time? How greatly Allah has prepared that the sins will come out from that person and speak. Can you eliminate that? With a permanent mark has been recorded, that nothing can eliminate the record of that sin. Such a severe thing is sin, that on the day of judgment, I'm telling you this. This is Quran. Quran tells us this. That so much wealth, that even if you have wealth similar to the amount of the wealth in the world, may kings of the world today and leaders of the world have so much wealth, may Allah give them tawfiq to spend in the right way, in the path of Allah, on the deen. Yes, a lot of happiness on one day on the ijtama, was a lot of happiness. That one person who had khair and a desire to do good, one individual. And on ijtama we spend alhamdulillah. Yes, so alhamdulillah. That however much there is, we don't care. We spend. This is the food for us, the dhikr of Allah. So mashallah, our colleagues, they with a lot of love, and they spend on this, on the ijtama, Allah Ta'ala elevate their status. Yes. And but there was one man, he said a very good thing. And the Allah Ta'ala made him sahib khair, the source of goodness. He says, please give me permission, I want to give the money for all of the food. He didn't, did he? But the jazba, the passion he had, that the money Allah Ta'ala gave to him, that Allah gave him the passion And somebody asked him that, he said that, you know, all the food, they said maybe thousands must have cost, maybe 5,000-6,000 people eating the langar, we have the food, alhamdulillah. But he had mashallah money, he wanted to spend it. So this is our colleague. And one colleague said that all of the food, the cost of the money, the, for the food, he said, I want to give. He said, this will be, there are many other people who have given a little bit, the women folk have given their share, etc. So this thawab should go to everybody. So may Allah give you barakah and reward you and to your business. So this is also a passion, a jazba. So these things will be counted in the hereafter. And some people are always too difficult for me. And their capacity such, they have thousands. Maybe it's difficult, they will take £100 out. Or it's too hard for me to give. And he sees, Allah says, I've given you this money, this wealth, I made you wealthy for this reason, so you can spend on my path, that you have the value of 100,000 and you just took 100 out. 100, all of this, there's a beautiful verses that they're in my mind of the Quran on this point of spending. So Allah looks at the passion, the desire, and the person who's being offered, who's sitting, he knows, the person, that he's not greedy, he's not worried about money. He didn't look that, for example, some of the poor woman, she gave £10, what about her? If he gives all the money for the food, then others can't partake. Khair. He said, may Allah accept your jazba. But mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has given that passion, that desire. He wanted to give. And he has focused his money in the right way. Because the people have hub of money. Al-haakum utakathur hatta zurtumul baqat. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran clearly, that will you take that money into the grave? Will that wealth go with you after you die? If only you had that feeling that I want to give this much. So many people, 6,000 people coming. The person who eats my money, eats my food, Allah says, on whose name? Such great mashayikh in the silsila, subhanallah. That person will construct paradise whilst he's here, spending on that. So whose favor is this? It's not favor for me, not favor for you. Everybody's doing for their benefit. I don't ask from anybody. I just show the path. Here's the way for Jannah. Spend how much you want to in this path. Yes, I have no desire, because my task, my duty is to take people towards that path of Jannah. That I will show my murids, my students, that path towards paradise. The rest, that you have to use your akal, your brains, whether you put your hands here or there, it's your choice. Your circumstances become money, your body, your time, your mouth. Well, I'll show you, demonstrate you. Go and earn the paradise if you can. Earn the paradise if you can. I'll demonstrate. I'll explain. And that person who steps back, then he stepped back. So at least you should recognize this much, that who am I on the journey with? That is this a person who's deceiving me, or is he giving me the true talk? If you can't even recognize that, then what will you recognize in reality? If you don't even realize this up to now. Yes, and they start complaining, people. Why has this happened? Why are you saying this? Why have you made the sheet like this? Why is this strict? Why is this hard? The Quran has explained this. The Quran tells us this. Yu'minu billahi wal akhir. Allah says that the people who believe in Allah and the hereafter, tilka hududullah, then for that person Allah has constructed the boundaries for the people of Iman. There's hadud, boundaries, hadud, limits. And the person who goes beyond the limits, those who break the boundary, they don't have Iman. What does this mean? Look at the pages, the points, the verses. Allah Ta'ala says, I give iman to a human being. After giving iman, I have made the boundaries, the hudud. For which reason? The boundaries for the people of iman, faith. For this reason, Allah says, that I want to protect you within the boundary. I want you to develop within the boundary, to progress. I want to give you paradise. So hudud is not strictness, it's not severity. Rather, the hudud, the boundaries, is to elevate you, to progress you. But those people who complain and think it's strict, it's too hard, it's deen, the boundaries, how can I do this, it's too hard. Those who say this, who consider this, Allah says iman is not even inside that person. They're the munafiqs, the hypocrites, those who have no faith, no iman, don't trust those people. Those who live within the boundaries, how can it be? They don't know that their Rabb, their Lord, who loves the believers, who has iman, will he put you into difficulty, Allah says? Say subhanAllah. Allah says, the shaykh, you've taken the shaykh, your guide is for your tarbiyah, for your progress. He makes a law, a principle. Only his objective is that somehow my student want to Islam, reform him, and you complain and make a fuss, then you are total munafiq. You haven't come for development and progression. Say subhanAllah. Shaykh, the teacher's every footstep is for Islam, guidance of the student. And the person who sees it's hard, difficult, I can't do it, it's too difficult for me, how can I do this, why are you saying this, why are you telling me to do this? He's a pure munafiq who Allah makes apparent. They're not going to follow the teacher, they're drama, fraudsters, they have no relationship with the shaykh, with the teacher. And those who are following the teacher, Amana of Sadaqna, whatever Hazrat Sahib says and does, totally is for Islam, reformation, improvement. We don't understand it, but his objective, he wants to take us to paradise. And these are all the paths and the methods and steps to paradise. Tilka hududullah. Do you understand now this verse? Do you understand? Sufis do tafsir like this of the Quran. The truth. This is the Allah gives hudud, the limits for Islah. The Mashaykh Ikram also, in their own way, manner, style, their own method, they will take their murids on the path for the Islah. Someone who gives this status or this responsibility or this task. But those people who don't come for the Islah, improvement, they just come for enjoyment. Where they see a contrast to their enjoyment, or they start making complaints and making a fuss. Or it's too hard, this is too severe, how can I do this action? He's doing that, they don't need to do this, it's too hard for us. Who told this me to do this like this? Then go, be free. If you don't want to do the actions, there are those people who want to do that. They say, alhamdulillah, we will try and make effort. This is the point. If you don't want to do it, run away. Who told you to sit here if you're making a fuss? You understand the difference? Allah says, don't bring iman if you don't want. Allah, did I force you? If you come into iman, then you must live within the boundaries, the hudud, Allah says. And they are for your islah, for your betterment. The Sharia Allah Ta'ala defined, this is haram, don't go here, don't do this. Allah says, it's for your betterment, it's not for my betterment, Allah says. That you think it's too severe, too hard, too strict, Allah says, go, there are many other paths, go where you want. Yes, the dunya is in front of you, do what you want. Ilayhi Masih, Allah says, you'll come very soon back to me, nothing to quarrel about, then you'll see the reality. But those, mashallah, mujahid, who are solid people, they say, no, we are firm. We accept whatever is haram, we'll accept as haram. Whatever is halal, we'll accept as halal. Same way, the sheikh, the teacher, they will travel on that path of the teacher. Whatever sheikh you said, end of story. No drama, student. You will follow the path of iman, and the same way you'll follow the path with the sheikh. You have to follow the principles and the rules for islah. Oh, this is too hard for me to do this program. Wherever he sees hardship, he hasn't even come out of his mouth. That student is detached. His nifaq has become apparent. Even consider that person has no faith, he's just a fraudster. You understand what I'm saying? You're not upset with what I'm saying, are you? Okay, fine, let's carry on then. The tarbiyah is taking place, isn't it? Tarbiyah, improvement is happening. Improvement is happening. You can't run away, then I'll come run, you run back here. Where will you go? Where will you escape to? Oh, I'm stuck here now. Jannah, inshallah, will deliver you to Jannah, then set you free, inshallah. So then, Shaban, how to prepare? Total ghusl we need to do. Proper bath. Proper ghusl and bath we need to do for preparation, clean fully. The more you clean yourself now, the more enjoyment you'll get in Ramadan. There's no objective of Ramadan. Become pure. Okay, fine. Ghusl. So how are we impure? Why are we dirty? What has made us dirty? Due to the sins. Is there anyone who can say, I'm totally clean, I don't commit sins? Oh, there are people who talk rubbish. Oh yeah, where have I sinned? What are you talking about? I haven't done any sins. And on the sheets, there's never any sins. Just like the sheets, we've developed the system. Do you remember this tilka? This is a hudud. The boundary for tarbiyah, improvement. But people don't think it's for tarbiyah. Oh, it's a punishment for me. Sheet, it's too hard. Then just stand where you are. Then stay where you are. Just stay where you are. But those who follow, mashallah, who are following the system, well done. So what is it we need to do, ghusl? What do we need to have a bath for? We need to rid ourselves of the sins. What makes our bath in dirty? The sins. from the mouth, hand, stomach, limbs of the body, all around us, sins and sins and sins, nothing else. So you need to clean these things, then we enter into Ramadan properly. So if somebody now wipes away the sin, show to me, demonstrate how to wipe away the sin. All of the forces of the dunya can stand. Just like I was saying, there's people with big wealth. The Quran says people with wealth and money will come. Allah, take this wealth from me. But Allah, please save me from Jahannam. Yes, they will try to give bribery in the hereafter with their money. Allah will say, leave that. The Quran says, leave that. The money, the dunya that you spent on, if you had spent on good things, your wealth. On good things, if you had spent your wealth, according to you, that was a good thing to spend on. But even there, it was not accepted and it won't be accepted. Even there, the acceptance was on one condition. What was that? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah was the condition. Every action and deed, whether it's a small or big, it is dependent. Without the kalima, there's no power of that deed until and unless you don't attach it to the enjoyment of iman. Say subhanallah. Yes. This is the reality. Not this, oh look at him, this person's done this, spent this much, achieved this much. The acceptance is based on iman. Remember this. Without iman, there's nothing you can do what you want. Allah says, there's no acceptance without iman. Whoever doesn't believe in me, doesn't understand me, then why should I accept any action of that person? He's just enjoying himself for his own reasons. Doesn't matter how many things he's made or done, nothing at all, Allah says. You understand what I'm saying? So what, has anything benefited? Has wealth benefited anyone? Has anyone, can they exchange their currencies for, can he wipe away one sin? Allah says, take the whole world, people go like that in the hereafter when they see Jahannam, hell. Those who had yaqeen, even now they know what is Jahannam, they want to save themselves from hell, right now they understand. That's the question Allah Ta'ala asked. The angels went, so what was he asking whilst they were sat there, the mad people in the dhikr gathering, the majlis, what were they doing? Allah says to them, angels, they said, Allah, they were asking for Jannah and refuge from hell. The angels say this to Allah. Allah says, is it? So, shall I tell you now, or is it based on you? What was Allah's discussion with the angels? Look, the points the Sufis extract from the hadith. So Allah says, is it? They were asking for this. Allah then enjoys when he listens to that. Allah says, what were they doing during the majlis? And the angels say, Allah, they said, save us from hell. Save from hell? Have they seen hell? Do they know about hell? The angels say, Allah, they haven't seen hell. They haven't seen heaven, but they had so much yaqeen that without seeing, they have more belief than with seeing. That's why they're asking you, Allah. SubhanAllah. These are the Ahlul Dhikr. The Allah praises in a beautiful way with the angels in the hadith. Allah says that you are seeing angels, they couldn't even see. But their yaqeen was so strong and high in me, that so much conviction and belief that they couldn't see Jahannam, but they knew that Jahannam is there. I'm not going to commit a sin. SubhanAllah. These are the mu'mins, the definition of the mu'min. So when yaqeen after belief, a person asks for refuge from hell, then he will achieve that. The hands will shake, Allah save me from hell. Save me from hell. It's like he's going into hell. He'll feel like that. That will that person commit a sin? When they got up tahajjud, their beard would be wet. Their hands were shaking, their body was shaking. And their beards would be wet, their eyes would be flowing, the tears. This is the yaqeen that had Allah save me from hell. The Jahannam is in fact, we say, oh, Jahannam, oh yeah, yeah, hell, yeah, yeah. This is what people say, oh, we'll see after, yeah, Ramadan will come, we'll be fine. Yeah, people speak like this openly today, brave. Oh, fear Allah, be quiet, don't tell me. Oh, we're in the dunya, we're saying the world, yeah. Talk about the dunya, when the time comes, we'll worry about it. What are you telling me? They don't bother. They don't care. They don't have yaqeen. So this fact of sin, that tell me this is so solid a fact, sin that will take a person to hell, and we do it one after the other. Allah said, I've given you such a month that to enter into this month of Ramadan, you must have a bath from the sins. If you want to attain Ramadan, so a person tries to bathe himself, clean himself, purify. Imagine, look at the style Allah has given, the method, that how Allah is saving us from hell. Why? Because Shaitan claimed boldly, O my Rabb, Dhul Jalal, I swear by you, Allah, Shaitan said. He stood in front of Allah because he had the anger that time when he was shunned and pushed out of hell. He said, I'm being pushed out of hell, but I swear by your izzat Allah, for that reason you're expelling me, then I'm not going to leave anybody else. That as long as he's got the energy and a person's alive, shaitan promised, I will not allow the human being to come near to you. I'll make him do such sins and put waswasa into him. Watch Allah. He challenged. Then Allah said, fine. I also, according to my shan, my greatness, Allah gave the answer. That I've given you the power, shaitan. You asked for me permission, so I accepted your dua, gave you the energy. Go. Here the pious people, they say, that dua is such a great thing. That Allah Ta'ala even accepted the dua of shaitan, didn't reject shaitan's request. Allah accepted shaitan's request. Look at the power of dua. You know where his hands are? I see. So our colleagues, that people, for example, when a person doesn't even know about how to do dua, he will never get anything in life. Never. Our hands are here, just next to us. We sat there like miserly. Yeah? And afterwards, that with difficulty we'll put our hands out to do dua. Allahu Akbar. I'm surprised when I see people that we are begging to Allah. We can't put our hands out with a closed heart and a broken heart. Oh, he's wasting time. What's going to happen in the world? What dua? What dua are we going to do, people think? Miserly. We don't even think from whom you're asking from. Allah is giving to you at that time. We don't even think. We don't have yaqeen. The ask and I'll get. And he says, oh, yaar, what's the point of doing dua? And the hands are so close to us. Or down. And we're sat there like, without no belief. Subhanallah. So, if we see we've done dhikr, we haven't even finished doing dhikr, and the real essence of dhikr, to beg to Allah, we need to beg to Allah. And full yaqeen, whatever we ask to Allah, we will get. We don't have that. The question doesn't arise that you do dua, but Allah will give according to His hikmah and His choice. He will never reject your dua. What do? We ask, immediately we want that thing stood in front of us. I asked Allah, give to me right now, immediately. Yeah, Allah says, I'll give to you. The person who's miserly in asking for dua and has no adab, no manners, no method, and he has no adab, that who am I in front of, who am I asking from? And he has yakin, I'm not going to get anything. They won't raise their hands to do dua. Their face is dropping, their hands are falling, dangling down. They don't know what they're asking for, what they're thinking at that time. No yakin, no conviction. Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah, develop your faith and belief. And Allah says, astajib, they ask me, I will give. Allah is looking for excuses for us to ask Him. Such a great reward He's given to Muslims, that raise your hands, I will give to you. There's no restriction, no hurdle, no barriers. But we don't have yakin in this. We don't ask. We don't even believe in this. Such a great action of doing dua when you're asking from Allah is such like you are depositing in your bank account the currency. What else do you want? You've deposited it. It's gone in. Some individuals I've seen, such pious elders, the tahajjud time they get up. Even they haven't even come out of their bed and they start doing du'as and they don't even know the tahajjud time. With difficulty they get 2 rakat. All of their time is in du'as, in asking Allah for du'as. Whose enjoyment is so great. They're asking Allah and He's giving. So the meaning of the tahajjud, you've attained it. You've acquired the objective of the tahajjud. That the person gets up and when he's free, the time of the tahajjud is finished. All through du'a. This is a unique point. Unique point. Half hour passes, 45 minutes. He hasn't even come out of the bed. He's doing dua. He's got up 1 hour in advance. And tahajjud time passes. Say subhanallah. And then he says, oh, tahajjud time's gone. Oh, but he has achieved the objective. He hasn't even moved. He couldn't move. He said, where shall I go? What shall I do? I need to ask from Allah. That's how much faith and belief he has, that individual. And the other person has no yakin. It's not me saying, it's Allah who's making me say this. He's making me say those things that He wants to give to me. He's making me request those things that He wants to give to me. And Allah Ta'ala puts it into his mind what to say. Allah give me this as well, Allah give me this. I'm saying this in Farsi, in Arabic, or in English, or in Urdu, or in Punjabi. Allah give me this as well. Oh Allah, forgive that person. Oh, such statements, such people he gets forgiveness for. That is amazing level that person's got. Amazing. There's such friends from young life and youth. They used to sit and eat a chocolate with somebody, or he drank tea with someone from decades ago. He remembers those people in his du'as and asks Allah to forgive those people as well. Amazing condition of that person. Emotion. I'm talking about pious predecessors. They have a taluk, a connection, yaqeen with Allah. We're sat here, and our food's dropping, our mouth's dropping down. We've done dhikr. We don't know about dua. Oh, we have no yaqeen. We don't believe we're going to get anything. If we weren't going to get something, wouldn't we have attained it by now? Oh, yaar, in Medina I did duas, in front of the Kaaba I did duas, I did duas here as well. Oh, I didn't get a son, I asked Allah for a son. Regularly, I want to do this, I want to do this. These are the duas we go to Makkah, Medina to do. The duas. Oh, I can't get married, let's go to Medina and do dua. I can get married, oh, my business is not flourishing, oh, let's go there. One brother is doing dua, I'm telling the truth here. He stood there. As-salatu wa salam alayka ya Rasulullah, I'm present now in front of you. This is a person from Karachi, I'm telling you, clear. And he said, Ma, I've got business and cars. And what do I do now? The dialogue now he's having there. Ya Rasulullah, I'm present now. And he was a maiman. And now I'm present in front of you. I'm doing many du'as. I'm fed up now in this business. It doesn't flourish. Hey, I'm giving you the keys now. You know best and the business knows best. Astaghfirullah. This is his du'a. In other words, you know best, here's the business, I'm leaving the keys here, I'm assigning it to you, over to you, and you know best what to do. Yes, I'm assigning it over to you, I can't do this now. Where's he stood? Makkah, Medina, and giving presenting himself. Can you think a person doing dua like this? Look at the love. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So you're not upset with what I'm saying, eh? Okay, fine. So my brothers, without wudu you cannot pray salah. Without wudu you cannot recite Quran. Then obviously if you do physical wudu, you'll get the thawab. With the batin wudu, you get the thawab. So Ramadan's coming, we need batin, ghusl. We need to take the dirt of the sins out. Like I've told you, you cannot take them out. Sins, if you want to extract and remove them, wipe them, Allah's explained the place. Allah's made a place. Jahannam, you will be thrown into that bottom pit of Jahannam. That's where the sin will be removed. Even if it's a dot, diameter of a dot, the sin, you cannot go to Jannah. Even a diameter of a dot, a particle weight of sin is stuck to you. Allah said, bring him. So much stink of that person, that Jannah, you cannot imagine you'll go to Jannah with that stink of that sin. That dot, diameter, dot of a sin. Jahannam, where the person will go. Go burn that person. And due to the sadqa of Ramadan, how Allah has prepared shaitan. He said, I swear Allah with my izzat, that as long as I'm alive, I will not leave these believers. Would you give me permission? Allah says, take permission. But listen, Allah says, to shaitan, that I swear by my honor and respect, Allah said. That until that person doesn't die, breathe his last breath, until that time I will continue to forgive that person. So great a reward Allah has given to the human being. Imagine, such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given. Imagine. That maut, death, until he doesn't breathe his last. Allah says, as long as he asks me forgiveness for his sins, I'll continue to forgive him and remove the sins. You try hard, shaitan. Allah says, I as well give him tawfiq of tawbah to my human being. Subhanallah. What a great doors Allah's open. So the person came. And look how Rasulullah gave ta'aleem. He said, I'm finished, O Prophet of Allah. This hadith, I'm finished. What's happened to you, O Prophet of Allah? Where are you? I'm finished. I'm destroyed. I'm finished. He was shrieking, screaming. He was aware of his sin. What happened? He said, so many sins I've committed. So many sins. Rasulullah said, more than the heavens and the earth. He said, more than this. More than up to the arch. He said, more than everything. Rasulullah asking the questions he asked. And he replied, yes, more sins than this. And how many sins have you done? He said, I can't tell you. I won't even say the name of the sins and the actions I've committed. What will happen to me? The Prophet said, come. He came. He said, three times recited Astaghfirullah. He recited, said, go. In the new lease of life you've attained, you are pure and clean. Enjoy. So here the Sufis comment that this is the Tawbah, Shaykh. When a student puts his hand in the hand of the teacher, Shaykh, his sins are forgiven like this. The tariqas are coming from behind, from historically. Yeah, those who go against this, they can. But this is the tariqah of Rasulullah. You go to the sheikh, the teacher. Tawbah. So Ramadan, prior to Ramadan, the ghusl of Ramadan is what? Illa ladina tabu. Those people who repented. The Quran is saying this. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Those who repented. After what? The whatever nonsense they said, the sins they committed, the wretchedness they committed, the extreme sins they committed, and their life is full of sins, but Ramadan is coming. So what is it? What is the dua? If they did tawbah, repented that individual. Purified. Say subhanallah. What a great action is tawbah. Great action is tawbah. Repentance. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that sins of a person, the sins will take a person to paradise. Ajib hadith. Sins of a person will take him to paradise. Ya Rasulullah, sins will take a person to paradise. How? That after a sin, the tawbah that he commits, then it will take him straight to Jannah. That tawbah. Those sins will take him to Jannah because of the tawbah. Otherwise the sins will take him to Jahannam, hell. So the person who commits the sins after tawbah, repentance, he is without the sins and he's clean and he's pure. And this goes to the people who are on earth. So a person does tawbah, he repents, his hand, feet, who are witness for him, his mouth, to give the witness testimony. Forget the after tawbah, forget them, rather the earth, those places where he sinned, all of the evidence is wiped away. This is how powerful is tawbah, repentance. What can shaitan do in opposition to that? Nothing at all. All lifelong he tried his best, but one tawbah, it removes shaitan's efforts within a second. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَمِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Now listen carefully about tawbah. Shart, condition about tawbah. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَاسْلَهُ. But after doing tawbah, repenting, what you do you need to do? مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ أَسْلَهُ وَاسْلَهُ. After that, you need to do your islah. You need to rectify yourself. Change yourself. Because what is tawbah? Repentance. Tawbah tan-nasu that we say that we'll get in Ramadan. Tawbah is that you go to a sheikh, a teacher, you do tawbah, you repent, you put your hand in his hand. After that, what happens? All your sins are forgiven. You've prepared. After that, there's a condition. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَسْلَهُ. That after doing tawbah, after repenting, you need to then do your islah. You need to be concerned. You need to rectify. That's why we have tazkiyah sheets that your sheikh's given to you. For the concern for the hereafter. Concern for the hereafter. What else is it? This system. Concern for the hereafter. Look at this. That all, just tawbah on its own. I went to Peer Sahib, I repented. This is not end of story. After that, the real journey, the real progress, the real sheikh, the real student is after that, that he accepts his Islam. That, for example, my teacher, whatever you say to me to do, I'm present, I'm listening, I'm available. I'm not going to make a fuss, no objection, no criticism. Whatever you say, my teacher, make me human being, please. That's all I request. Whatever you say, I'll do. That's it. The Quran says this. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Not this, you put your hand in his hand, then he says do this, and you don't know where you're coming, going, and this is not our tradition. This is not our principle. We need the commission always with the teacher. Always with the teacher. Connection. Why? Because you have arrived here to me to do islah, to improve yourself. You haven't come for any other objective here. What is tawbah? Repentance. What is tawbah? Yes, what is the meaning of tawbah? Allah says tawbah is that action that when the student does tawbah, tawbah is accepted at that time, tawbah is made at that time when you have a desire. That's the first condition. What's the first step of tawbah is that you have a desire, demand, oh, I'm finished. How do I leave the sins? How will Allah forgive me? When you have this regret, how shall I improve myself? I'm going to Jahannam. What shall I do? When you have this deep regret and desire to improve, when you have desire, desperateness, then you'll run around looking for the guide, for the teacher. And such an a person, then he runs miles and miles to find a teacher, subhanallah. This is called talab. He doesn't see, is it 3,000 miles away, 2,000 miles away, is it sat in front of my house, he doesn't care. He ends all the distances, Jahannam's in front of him. He said, show me the path, Allah, there's no distant too fast, too far to end these sins. The angels have recorded my sins, my body's recorded my sins, how do I get rid of the sins? And he's looking, seeking for that guide, which is a talab. He's thirsty. When a person's thirsty in the desert, he's immensely thirsty, he'll run around for the water, to find the water, to quench the thirst. You understand what I'm saying? So the true, honest type who's running around, look, wants to do tawbah, oh, I need to find a guide, I need to present myself, present my sins. First, you need the desire inside. The desire. You don't have like that, oh, for example, I find the GP who I like, whatever I like, he'll tell me to do. Why you tell me, teacher, do this? I want to do it like this. Teacher, don't tell me do this. Don't tell me, doctor, do this. This is a drama. This is the drama. First, you need to be a sincere student. Step number two, the second requirement. You should have regret. You have to have regret and remorse. That how did I do these sins or this sin? How did I carry out this action? How did I do this wrong? I need to do tawbah. These are even in the high class people, everyone's included in this. Small, young, old, whatever. Everyone's sick in this condition. There's no person, human being, even Imam Abul Anbiya is telling us this. The dua, the always from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement was this dua. Rabbi Kfirli, Allah, Anta Tawwab, Ya Allah, you are the one who gives tawbah. Such a ta'lim education, du'as, that if I, the greatest Nabi, the beloved Nabi of Allah, Habib Allah, am giving you ta'lim, that I'm reciting, Rabbi Kfirli, Allah, forgive me, you are ashamed that you give your hand in the hand of a shaykh and do tawbah? You are ashamed in the dunya? Oh no, no, I'm this, I'm a big show, I'm learned. This is called kibri adheem. Big, big pride. Not kibir, but big, big pride that shaitan has instilled into a person. That I'm not going to submit to a teacher. Even if I go into Jahannam, no, I'm not going to submit. That I'm not going to adopt that path that Allah Ta'ala has defined to do tawbah. There I just want to keep my neck up and my pride up. And I cannot submit myself to a teacher because I'm better than that, a person says. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayna. Rasulullah taught us this dua. Always he uttered this from his blessed tongue. This statement, this dua. So go. So step one. Then step two is regret. Don't know. You've consumed somebody's wealth. You've lied. You've taken somebody's money. You're lying. Oh, it's khair. It's fine. We don't imagine. But those people of regret, remorse, old such incidents, they remember, I did this with this person. I did this with this person. How do I get forgiveness? How did I do this wrong? Watch out. These are the people of Jannah. They have regret and remorse. They're drowned in the regret. Third point. When such an awareness, acceptance comes, they've talab, they run around, they've got regret that's overwhelmed the person, there's all regret, then he becomes mad with the regret. Mad with the regret. Then what does he do then? Then he says, Baba, Ya, from today I promise that I'm going to eliminate that sin, I will not do that again. I'm not going to do this again. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is such an impure thing. I'm never going to commit this again. It's so dirty. In other words, immediately at that time, I promise not that I'm not going to do this again. I stop doing this sin and I promise Allah I will not do this. And when you make these four commitments or steps, then the awareness comes of these four points. Then when he takes the hand of the sheikh, then he recites the kalam of tawbah for that person, that all of the creatures in the heavens and earth do dua for that person and he's pure and clean. And what's the proof of that? That definitely he's done tawbah. In reality, the proof is min ba'di dhalika wa aslahu. Then he focuses on the tarbiyah, that the promises I've made, that how do I stick to this? And then he does his tarbiyah, improvement. Then I should come this out of my life, this should come out of my life, this is wrong and this. And then he does his tarbiyah, follows the guidance of the teacher, the coaching of the teacher, the method of the teacher. Always he presents himself to do his islah, his improvement. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. No doubt who can stop you from my ghafuriyat. Go, all of your sins are forgiven. Allah is Rahim. Allah surrounds him with his rahim. Always my mercies are coming onto that individual, Allah says. So has that person become a human being now? Or not? Tell me. Just with what thing? The ghusl of the batin, the bath of the inner state. So my brothers, this is Ramadan's preparation. True tawbah you must do, true repentance as has been explained and prescribed. If you want to just go left and right and follow your desires, that's up to you. But the real message of Ramadan is this. There's such a Ramadan, if you attain it, when you enter into Ramadan pure and clean. When you enter pure and clean. Then in Ramadan, when you enter and you do istighfar and tawbah, and you wake in the night and you present yourself in front of Allah, then you've already done tawbah in advance at that time, then your darajat will be elevated, your levels will be increased. And then ala high level of Jannah that person will enter into. And what will be that darajat levels? Not normal days, there will be the darajat, the levels of Ramadan that Allah will multiply. Every istighfar, high level, high maqam, high levels, high status, high rank. So this is the preparation for Ramadan. Okay? So go present yourself to a wali Allah, a teacher, make a connection with the sheikh. Ramadan has come here, Shaban is here still, alhamdulillah. Allah's praise, Allah has given us this knowledge now, don't waste your time. Do tawbah istighfar after that, repent, do istighfar your time. Totally use your time of preparing for Ramadan with good deeds. Make a program, a schedule, a timetable, and take that timetable up to Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has given us the work of the dunya. Allah hasn't said that stop doing this, stop working, Ramadan's come. No. In Ramadan there were expeditions. There were clashes. Utilize the time of Ramadan somehow to make a connection with Allah. Continue your work and make the connection existent with Allah. Maintain that. Have the nisbat with Allah, the connection with Allah, and do what you need to in the dunya. Don't use your time in wasteful activities. The thing that cut the relationship with Allah, futile activities, tasks, and actions, then minimize them, eliminate them. And in those days, if you can get a holiday from the job, those who can get a holiday, then select the Ramadan days for holidays to take the holidays. Yes? More and more, as much as you can, the salikin, students, those who are following the path of tasawwuf, most of all, the valuable thing for them in Ramadan is what? Sohbat-e Shaykh, the company of the teacher. This so much is a blessing. The amount of blessings that come to the Shaykh, they drop onto the student. You'll see this great Akabreen, Apash Peterses would go to the Khankas during Ramadan and spend their time there. The students would go to the Khankas. Great Hazrat, great personalities, straight there on. Soon Ramadan come, they run. They knew Allah's rahmah mercy, this is the markaz, the headquarters is the Shaykh. He's the center, focal point. Yeah, just like the Kaaba, the rahmah mercies of Allah descend on the Kaaba. Same tajaliyat, magnificence and splendor of Allah comes to the Shaykh, so the makhluk, Kaaba is one place, isn't it? But Allah Ta'ala creates just like the Kaaba everywhere. The pious elders, Allah has prepared the resources for bakshish, forgiveness. So the most valuable thing at that time for the salik, for the students is sohbat-e Shaykh, the company of the Shaykh at the time of Ramadan. And this nur ala nur that you cannot get anywhere else because the Shaykh mad every morning, afternoon, evening, he does dhikr. What else do you need? Tell me. What else do you need? Sakha Shaykh, very few far and between in history. You'll get people give speeches, conferences. But that thing to the point to open the doors of paradise, that is the dhikr of Allah to the point. And such a Shaykh, morning dhikr, afternoon dhikr, evening dhikr, whose action the teacher, such a Shaykh, you attain that. What other sohbat company do you need after that? Tell me. And there's no gap, no discussion, no conferences, no gossip, no tafsir, nothing. What is there? Allah, Allah, that's it. This is a unique action, my friends, an extremely unique action. And the achievement is this, that whoever is attached to that Shaykh around the whole dunya will attain that first, that blessing. This system will deliver to him through the microphone all around the world, day and night. The mad, crazy people in dhikr, they are waiting for the Shaykh all day long. A beautiful system Allah Ta'ala has given to us to utilize. But look here, as the generations go towards more evil and vice, we see this around us today. How much vice and evil. There was nothing before, resources, technology. But Allah says, the more that the vice and evil increases, the more to defeat shaitan, Allah gives us technology, devices, and resources to destroy shaitan. So destroy shaitan is one action, dhikrullah. So Allah Ta'ala made it common around the world that every majlis is online, on the internet. Allah has prepared the whole dunya always can listen to the majlis. Women, men, children. There's no excuse now to miss. Just touch the button, phone, you're in the car, you can listen, you're sat at home, you can listen, you're sleeping, you can listen, you're in a plane, you can listen. One brother, he said to me, I'm 50,000 feet above the earth, I'm listening to your dhikr in the sky, in the plane. Heavens and the earth, the dhikr is spread all over now. Why? Because Allah's karam, He's given us this resource for this purpose. Allah says, So much today we have bad action sins. There's so much sins in the heavens and the earth today. All spirits on people are drinking alcohol, talking nonsense, watching films. In the planes they do everything, innit? Vice, evil, Allah's prepared. Who's in the plane? Even there the voice will be delivered. They can do this, you do this action then. Subhanallah. Yes, so you just press tick on the press play on the phone, you can listen to the majlis dhikr. You will listen dhikr. Say subhanallah. So people are in the plane listening, but people are sitting on the air. They say, oh, I want to watch the drama now. I'll try after Ramadan my best. Oh, it's too hard. I've got business, work to do in Ramadan. I ain't got time. My brothers, please. That these flowers of businesses will remain. Ramadan could be your final Ramadan. The Rajab you've wasted, oh foolish people, disrespectful people. Don't waste time now. Do istighfar, those who wasted time in Rajab. Allah's Nabi says, you haven't listened to his words. You haven't understood his statement. Right now, make your time correct. Schedule, do tawbah. Person sits in one place. How many majlises you've wasted? Gatherings of Rajab you've wasted. Allahu Akbar. Rajab gatherings. Sohbati of the Shaykh you've wasted. The hadith statement you've wasted. The majlises of dhikr you've wasted. Of your teacher. That you've given money and maal and wasted. You spent in the dunya to waste the majalis of those great times. What a hisab in the hereafter, a person will have. This is Allah's Nabi says, advice we've not listened to either. That this is how the mu'min, he prepares for Ramadan like this, by talking nonsense and wasteful talk. Wake up, my friends, wake up. The death is running with speed after each and every one of us. It's running, we don't know about the next breath. Subhanallah. There's a sahabi who narrated a hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Do tawbah before death, do tawbah quickly. May not be that tomorrow you don't have the opportunity. Subhanallah. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wahid, one thing can save you. That you are pure and clean. What is that? Tawbah, repentance. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed this. Do tawbah quickly before death. Do tawbah. May not be that tomorrow you are beggar and you want to do tawbah, but your tongue doesn't move. You want to do tawbah and your brain doesn't function. You want to do tawbah, but you don't have consciousness at that time. Because Allah's Nabi Sallam, he said something honestly, sincerely. The time comes upon a person. Eventually the time does come upon a person. That thousands of people we've seen departing, some nobody ever seen doing tawbah when he departs. Nobody. The time you've been given to do tawbah, we waste it in futile talk. That said, this is the hadith, do tawbah, repent, Ramadan's about to come. May not be that we become beggars and we are incapable. Do it right now, right this moment, do true tawbah. Solid tawbah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability to practice upon this. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Rushin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Musjid. Shafi'in al-Muslimin at-Wahwa Yasin al-Habib al-Amin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Nabi al-Amin. Yaswaji. وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد صل تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا أصلنا وجدنا وخطبنا وعدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت ثم قدم وتأخر ولا إله إلا أنت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وغمتنا على الإيمان وأحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صدقين شهداء وصالحين حسن اولئك رفيقا اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في سنته اللهم نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وعذاب الجحيم وفتنة المسيح الدجال وفتنة المحيا والممات Ya Rahman Rahimin, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Allahumma nasrukul aflafi wal afata bit din yudniya nadiya kareem. Ya qadi al hajat ikta hajatina. Ya dafin bulayat itfu bulayatina. Ya shafi al amraz ishfa amrazina. Ya shafi al amraz ishfa amrazina. Emine mola tupun fazukumsi. Hamuzumam ki duham ko kubul farma. Ya Allah jumahge usse zada ata farma. جو نہیں مانگ سکے میں نے مولا وہ بھی عطا فرما. یا اللہ تو ہماری حاجات سے واقف ہے میں نے مولا, ہماری تمام حاجات کو پورا فرما. ہمارے حالات سے تو واقف ہے میں نے مولا, ہمارے حالاتوں کو بہتر فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے باطن سے واقف ہے, تمہارے باطن کو درست فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے اندر نفس کو جانتا ہے میں نے مولا, ہمیں گناہوں سے معافی عطا فرما. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمیں رمضان کی تیاری نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا سچی تو نصیب فرما. اللہ اسی توبہ نصیب فرما جس توبہ کو تو قبول فرمائے, جو توبہ ہماری زندگیوں کو تبدیل کر دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ ہمارے باطنوں کو منور فرما دے. یا اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو بہتر فرما دے. یا کریم ہمارے تمام اجزاؤں کو اپنا تابعدار بنا دے. جسم کا ہر جو تیرا ہی ہے میرے مولا, اس پہ ہمارا کوئی حق نہیں. اے میرے مولا تیرے حکام پہ چلنے کی توفیق اس کو عطا فرما دے. اے میرے مولا یہ سارا اجزاء تیرے سامنے گواہی دے, تمہارے تمام اعمال کی گواہیوں میں نکلے, میرا کوئی بھی برائی مولا ہمارا سامنے نکل سکے میرے مولا. یا میرے مولا مرنے سے پہلے پہلے میرے مولا تو ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ سچی توبہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ وساوس دور فرما دے, یقین نصیب فرما دے. یا اللہ یقین محکم فرما دے, یقین کو مضبوط فرما دے. تمام مساوس شیطانی کو ہمارے جسم سے دور فرما دے. اے میرے مولا ہم بہت کمزور ہیں میرے مولا, بہت جلدی گھبرا جاتے ہیں میرے مولا, تو ہمیں حوصلہ عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں صبر نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں صبر نصیب فرما, اپنی ہر بات پہ یقین نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہر تیاری پہ اپنی یقین نصیب فرما. ہر قدم میں اللہ تو اپنی مرضی کے مطابق اٹھا. اے میرے مولا تیرے ہر چیز سے ہمیں راضی فرما دے. جو فیصلے ہوں تیری زندگی میں تمام فیصلوں سے ہمیں مطمئن کر دے, ہمارے قلبوں کو مطمئن کر دے. یا اللہ ہر فیصلہ ہمارے حق میں کر دے, ہر فیصلہ ہمارے حق میں کر دے میرے مولا, ہر معاملہ ہمارے حق میں کر دے. اے میرے مولا اور ہمیں ہر فیصلے پہ مطمئن کر دے میرے مولا. جو تمہاری نعمتیں ہم سے تم نے لے لی میرے مولا, ہمارے دل سے بھی ان نعمتوں کو نکال دے. جو ہمارے مقدر میں ہماری چیز نہیں میرے مولا, ہمارے ان کی نعمتوں کو بالکل دل سے نکال دے. ان کے خواہشات کو دیکھ کر نکال کر وہ تمنائیں میرے مولا, وہ محبتیں پیدا فرما دیں ان اعمال کی جن کو تو پسند کرتا ہے, محبوب کرتا ہے میرے مولا. وہ اعمال ہمیں نصیب فرمائے یا رحمٰن. یا اللہ یا اللہ آج کی رات میں میرے مولا شعبان کی مبارک رات ہے, شب جمعہ ہے میرے مولا, ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے, ہمارے پیاروں کی بخشش فرما دے, ہمارے رشتہ داروں کی بخشش فرما دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ جن لوگوں کو ہم بھول چکے ہیں میرے مولا زندگی میں, میرے مولا جو تیرے پاس پہنچ چکے ہیں ان سب کی بخشش فرما دے. یا اللہ تمہارے ہمارے راضی ناراض رشتہ دار جو بھی تم سب کی بخشش فرما دے. اے میرے مولا دنیا میں جو بھی ہمارے جس نے مدد کی ہماری یا اللہ اس کی بخشش فرما دے. جس نے ہمارا دل توڑا میرے مولا اس کی بخشش فرما دے. اے میرے مولا ہمارے دوستوں کو ہم سے ملا دے, جو ہم سے روٹ گئے ہم سے دوستی کرا دے. اے میرے مولا دوستوں سے ملا دے, ایسے لوگوں سے ملا دے جو ہم سے ناراض ہو چکے ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں میں وسعت پیدا فرما دے. یا اللہ معاف کرنے کا جذبہ پیدا فرما دے. یا اللہ معاف کرنے کا جذبہ فرما دے. یا اللہ تو خود فرماتا ہے کہ آج تم لوگوں کو معاف کرو کل میں تمہیں معاف کروں گا میرے مولا. یا اللہ محض تیری رضا کے لیے ہمارے قدم اٹھائیں, معاف بھی کریں تو تیری رضا کے لیے کریں میرے مولا. یا اللہ معاف بھی کریں تو تیری رضا کے لیے. سب کے ہمارا سب سے ہمارے دل کو رمضان کے آنے سے پہلے ہمارے قلوبوں کو صاف فرما دے, شکوے دور فرما دے, شکایتیں دور فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمیں سب سے کمتر, ہم اپنے آپ میں سب سے کمتر نظر آئے میرے مولا. اے میرے مولا تمام غرور و تکبر ہمارے دل سے نکال دے. یا میرے مولا اپنے فضل سے ہماری تمام دعاؤں کو اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے قبول فرما لے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ.